course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby. Just, you know, living the dream, living the dream.
Yeah, okay. Well, today on this episode, we are going to be reviewing the new take on the movie Street Trash that just came out. Actually is not out yet. Will be coming out. So that is coming up. And Ike, before we dive into that, were you able to catch up and watch the finale of Creep Tapes?
I sure was.
All right. Well, let's talk about Creep Tapes. Episode 6, Mom and Albert. This is the finale. This is the final of this little series. And like we've said, everything, you know, just each episode seems to get better and better. And man, I have to say, this is, I think it continued on. I think this was my favorite of the series. This was a kind of a disturbing episode, and yeah, really, really delved into what makes him what he is a lot. And but I really liked it. I really think it gave a lot of background into him, and you know, while still continuing to broaden, you know, what we know of him in this world. It was definitely creepy and just, I don't know, a little unsettling, a little uncomfortable. And I really enjoyed it. Now looking back over the entire series, now that it's this series is finished, I loved it, man. I really enjoyed it. I think it's a great chapter in the creep, you know, whatever mythology or whatever you want to call it. I think well done. I fully enjoyed it. I think the series really let Mark Duplass just spread his wings and show his stuff. And I was a big fan. What'd you think?
So obviously no spoilers, but if you've seen Creep 2, I just have to say, what is it with like Mark Duplass like wanting to show his wiener?
I have no idea.
I mean, like, good for him, I guess. But yeah, I mean, like, this is, it's one of those, it's like, it's weird that it's happened twice type deals. Like, if I had a nickel for each time Mark Duplass showed his wiener in a creep film or show, I'd have two nickels, mm-hmm, which isn't a lot, but it's weird it happened twice. But yeah, you know, it obviously was fantastic. It was incredibly disturbing. It definitely is the best of all of them. But I feel like this is definitely a slow lead up. And I will say this, I do feel like I have some theories about the movie and the TV show, and this episode kind of got my brain stirring a little bit, that maybe what we've seen thus far isn't exactly what it appears. Maybe we can do like a spoiler episode at some point, and I'll tell you kind of what I'm thinking, but obviously I don't want to spoil anything because some of it is spoiler-esque for some of the things that are spoken about.
We'll give it a week, and maybe next week we'll dive in a little more, and the gloves will be off. But yeah, well, let's just give it a week, and so people can catch up, or whatever, and maybe next week is, you know, kind of our opening talk. We'll really dive in and some of our thoughts.
Yeah, that sounds good. But yeah, you know, and it you know, just to leave that, you know, out there, it's a good movie. It's extremely good show. I'm sorry. Technically, it's a movie, but it's an extremely good show, start to finish. Like, there's no weak points in this show. Even if I had to pick a weak point, it would be the first episode. But even then, the first episode isn't weak per se. It's just not as spectacular as the rest of the episodes. So it's like, yeah, it's weird, but it's like such a good little show, and I'm so pleasantly surprised with it. I'm sad it's over.
Yeah, me too. And yeah, like we said, you know, we kind of felt the first episode was the one they kind of had to do kind of lay the foundation for anyone that maybe hadn't seen the movies. So it was the most within the box thinking of the series. And it was wild. I was curious coming into it how they would do this. and be creative, but it was each episode was super creative and had a super original ideal, super, original aspect or whatever I want to say, approach to this. And it was just great. And this, like I said, this last one just really it took it all. And really, I don't know. It was just a great culmination of everything and bringing it all together. So, if you have not been watching Creep Tapes along with us, it is done. Six episodes. It is time to go out and binge it and watch it. It is definitely worth it. And make sure you go watch the two movies and support this franchise. This has been a franchise that since the beginning of the show, Ike and I have been saying more people need to be aware of this. More people should be talking about this. And I'm glad that there is some attention on it now because of this series. And hopefully, this will elevate it a little bit. So,
Yeah, I
so
think so.
before we move on, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Really, the only thing I watched outside of just whatever else I've been watching, it's not horror related whatsoever. But when we moved into the new house, it came with like an antenna for local stations, and for some reason, SpongeBob was on one of them. So I've been watching SpongeBob a lot. But other than that, I watched a let's see, I watched. Oh, I watched Smile 2, rewatched it on Paramount. I had to, as soon as, me and my wife were sitting there like, man, we really want to rewatch that. And I'm like, I'm almost positive that it is on some streaming service, And I was like, sure enough, Paramount, my least favorite streaming service, but I toughed it out and it was so good. So good a second time.
Yeah, we didn't it's not in our news today, but yeah, it just hit Paramount Plus recently, so there that's a little bit of a news plug here right off the top, but Smile
Boom.
2 is available on Paramount Plus. I didn't really watch anything. I've been watching a lot of Christmas stuff leading into Christmas. So lots of Christmas cartoons and specials and things of the sort. Haven't really hit a lot of Christmas horror. I did watch Black Christmas a while back, but yeah, I've not watched a couple of the others yet, but I will. You gotta watch Silent Night, Deadly Night, gotta watch Krampus. Those are my three that I have to hit every year. So we'll see if I watch anything else, but that's all it's been for me. Lots of Christmas material here lately. So let's move on.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And as always, our opening segment is Cheesy Slasher of the Week. This is where Ike and I present to you kind of a low budget cheesy horror movie that is not maybe not high on quality, but is typically very high on fun. And since we are reviewing the new take on Street Trash, our cheesy slasher is the original take on Street Trash. And I'm not 100% sure that we have not already used this as a cheesy slasher. We may have. I'm not sure, and I don't care, because I feel like it's just appropriate at least to revisit it then because of the topic today. And Street Trash was written by Roy Frumkes, directed by J. Michael Muro, is based on a short film by J. Michael Muro. This is a short film he did in film school, starring Mike Lackey, Vic Noto, and more. It is described as a liquor store owner sells alcoholic beverages to homeless people, unaware of what the bottles actually contain, a toxic brew. The movie was released in a limited theatrical run on September 16th, 1987. You're familiar with that, at least that date, maybe not the year there, right, Ike?
And, I think so.
And soon after on VHS. The movie does have quite a cult following and is one of a group of films that has become known as melt movies. And more on that in just a little bit. The movie is available to watch on Shudder. I very much enjoy the original Street Trash. That we'll talk more about that in a little bit in our review and other things. It's a fun movie. It's goofy. It is very goofy. Like the new one, it's goofy, but it's fun. It's got that I don't know that appeal that works for me. It's definitely not for everybody. I'm hit or miss with the melt movie thing, right? Because sometimes it's a little grotesque to watch. Sometimes it's just funny to watch. But I fully think everybody should go out and watch Street Trash because I feel like well, as we'll talk about here in a bit. As far as a melt movie goes, I feel like this is, at least in my eyes, the pinnacle to watch. So I don't think you've seen this one, the original, right?
No, I was gonna try and watch it prior to like us reviewing this movie. I just did not have the time. But yeah, it sounds a little bit different than the movie that we watched. So I'm very curious, like the differences between the two.
There's I don't know. The concept's the same, everything else is kind of different.
Right.
Yeah, I mean it's really just the same concept. There's not it's I wouldn't even call it a very, very a really a what's the word? I don't even if I call it a remake because it's weird because it's at least it's been a little bit since I've seen the original Street Trash, but it's just not they're not the same, right? They
Right.
have the same concept, but that's about where it ends. But we will talk more about that in just a bit. So let's move on. Talk to us, Internet. It's time for the segment we call Talk to Us, Internet. This is where we take either listener feedback or just something that is circulating on social media, and we discuss it for just a moment here on the show. And keeping in the kind of a theme of the episode here, I tried to find something that fit in, and I did find something, a post where someone said something about the subgenre of quote unquote melt movies, which we've already mentioned, and we're going to talk about more, which is basically just any movie that features an extensive use of the melting of the human body. I did see someone post that it is just a disgusting and horrific form of horror that only uses shock value. Here's my thing. At its core, you know what? I don't know. I wouldn't use disgusting or horrific, but I'm not arguing the gist of the point that a melt movie, it is kind of using a little bit of the shock value, right? It's utilizing the melting. That's what, it's selling for people to see, and that's the, that's the bread and butter of the movie. Most melt movies that I have seen, they don't offer a whole lot more. There's not a whole lot more to them, right? There's not like it's some grand storyline. Most of them are very comedic. I can't argue the point in its context, but they're putting it as a negative. I don't see it so much as a negative because I don't view things to me, they're not that way. Melt movies are okay. They're not my favorite. They're not my favorite genre. They're not my, necessarily my go-to of things to watch, but that doesn't mean I'm gonna knock them or say this or that. It's just not me, not for me. I don't find them disgusting or horrific. If that's what people like, that's what people like. More power to them. And this kind of harkens back to that point we always drive home of, man, if it's not for you, just okay, just move on and do your thing. And I mean, I guess I can see where someone would find it quote unquote disgusting because some of the melt scenes are graphic, for lack of a better term. They're not necessarily realistic per se, most of them. But yeah, there are, it is kind of, some of them can be kind of a little nasty looking. But I don't know. It's odd to me that people have to always react in this negative way to it instead of just, I don't know, why post? You don't like them. Why do you have to post? Just go on, move on. But I mean, what's your take? I don't know if you have a lot of viewing history with the Melt movies, but what's your take on this?
Well, first of all, because in a second we're going to get into our like weekly segment where we talk about something different. It's on the same concept, but I when I read the notes for this week, I had never Okay, so I can't say I never heard the phrase melt movie, but I kind of just, it was one of those things I heard in passing, but never really gave it a second thought. So I have seen quite a few melt movies and or movies that would be melt adjacent. Basically, I mean, realistically, depending on who you ask and depending on the internet, a melt movie is basically defined as the body horror of a person melting in some way, shape, or form. And there are a lot of movies that contain some version of that, right? So after I kind of looked it up and kind of thought about it, you know, and I do think that melt movies fall into sort of what's called as body horror. Body horror being that, you know, there's a whole subgenre of a subgenre that, you know, is body horror. Body, you know, the when someone sees like a body transforming or, you know, de-transforming in the form of melting, or, you know, a body being, you know, twisted and, you know, contorted and things like that, or, you know, transformations into grotesque creatures. It kind of falls into that category of body horror. And Melt being a version of body horror, I do like the body horror genre, and I think it's very unique and, you know, very creative. I do think that there is a very fine line between body horror and, you know, melt movies, right? I do think that there is, you know, definitely a dividing line between like traditional body horror and like the melt subgenre. But I do think it's unique. I think that, you know, if you try hard enough and you put in the right amount of work and creativity, melt movies can be very creative, and very ingenuitive. You know, the practical effects typically needed to pull off, you know, the true melt effect, is nothing but a feat of engineering. So I do have a very deep appreciation for body horror and then subsequently melt movies. And I get it. You know, some people don't like, you know, seeing that kind of stuff. The same way some people don't like seeing serial killer movies. They don't like Terrifier. They don't like Halloween. You know, it's all the same thing, right? You don't like it, don't watch it. But I wouldn't put such a derogatory spin on the description of a melt movie because its very purpose is to be disgusting. So sure, it is disgusting. It is vile, but that's kind of the point. So being mad that a melt movie is doing exactly what it is intended to do is entirely redundant. So it just seems pointless to argue. You know, it's pointless for somebody to bitch and moan about it, but I guess that can be said about most people who bitch and moan about things.
And melt movie is, I mean, it's very vague too, right? Because, you know, there are zombie movies that have, you know, a melt quote unquote in it, and different things, you know, other movies have, you know, that in it, but it's not, where it's not, but it's not the prominent thing, or there's not a lot of it. But so it's a very vague term.
It is.
To, you know, it's not, which most subgenres are really. Let's get down to it. I don't like a lot of the subgenres. I feel like it's just silly to try to, you know, to narrow them down, because you're trying to, you can't draw your lines. It's too hard.
It is.
You know, what line do you draw to make it a melt movie, right? Does there have to be so many bodies? No, it's just ridiculous, right? It just gets silly at some degree. I understand, you know, the descriptive aspect of it and trying to describe what it is, but sometimes I think it gets a little carried away. It's same. That's the same. My views on music. It's just. It's hard. I try to cut it up too much. You're just killing the whole thing. So,
No, I definitely agree. It there does come a point where you can I call it subgenreing it out of existence. Because once you get too niche, there's essentially no audience for it. Or if there is an audience, it's small. And I think that horror movies, specifically horror, the horror genre is very bad about trying to like divide and, you know, redefine certain genres. You know, for instance, you know, you have the genre of horror, then you have slasher movies. Slasher movies is like a very direct genre of horror. I guess it depends on who you ask. But then within the slasher genre, you have like home invasion movies, you have babysitter murderer movies, you have exploitation slashers, you have this kind of slash, you know. So there's all kinds of, like, I don't know, it's weird how it all kind of, you know, how it all kind of shakes out at the end. But I think that Melt movies is sort of a victim of that, where you could probably just call it body horror, but I do see why they call it Melt movies, because a lot of, like, the hardcore Melt movies are literally just people melting. I mean, like, there was one, I don't know exactly, oh man, what was it called? It was like the now it's gonna bother me. I saw it and I looked at it and I didn't watch it, but it was like, oh, The Incredible Melting Man. It's a movie on Tubi. I have not seen it, but it's literally called The Incredible Melting Man, and this movie was made to specifically pioneer off the melting genre.
Which, you know, that's, yeah, most of them do that.
Right.
And, you know, I get a few labels, right? I get, you know, supernatural or whatever, or possession movies, and I get slasher to an extent, but even sometimes those, it's, you know, it's a little hard. But when you then you try to go to it, you know, like a subgenre of a subgenre, it's just weird, and it's too hard, and it's not necessary. And I don't know, maybe it's just me. I'm apathetic. I don't care. I guess, you know, it's horror. You know, it's hard enough to me sometimes to define what's horror and what's not, because there are things that are called horror, things that we've reviewed that have been labeled as horror by the production companies, and we go and see them or we watch them and we're like, that's not really what I would call a horror movie. And so it's even hard down to that. But again, I'm not saying that's wrong or right. It's difficult because it's all perception.
It
And
is.
so it's difficult. But yeah, we kind of rolled with that one. So let's just move on.
Top three.
In this episode, we are going to do a top three. This is where we have a topic, and Ike and I choose just that, a top three within that topic. And again, keeping with the theme of the episode a bit, or, you know, we're trying to kind of keep things in line a little bit here and there as we can. We are going to do our top three favorite Melt movies. And as we said earlier, it's very hard to define what's a Melt movie. So this is not, guys, it's not rocket scientists. Don't send hate mail. If you send hate mail, you're going to end up being a future talk to us internet. Just, I'm telling you. You know, just go with us. If there's a human melting in it, it's a Melt movie for us. End of discussion. That, so be it. So Ike, do you have your top three ready?
I think so.
All right. Why don't you start? What is your number three favorite Melt movie?
All right, so we're gonna go back, and this is a true Melt movie. Like I said, there are some, like, Melt adjacent on here. At least one of them is, but this is my first, or the third, whichever one you want to go for, The Blob from 1988.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking at an IMDb list somebody made of movies that explicitly fall into the Melt genre. This was one of them. And I do distinctly remember watching this movie, you know, eons ago when I was younger, and I was, like, intrigued by the amorphous blob that consumed everything. So yeah, absolutely. It's a fun movie. It's a little cheesy, of course, but fun nonetheless. It's something I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch now after having looked at all this. But yeah, number three is 1988, The Blob.
Yeah, I like The Blob. This is also my number three, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, again, it's a good, you know, the Blob. This is a remake, right, of the old Blob. This is one of those, to me, I'll use rare for lack of a better term, but this is one of the instances where I believe the remake was justified, right? And it was time to do a remake. And I'm not knocking the original, but I'm just saying times had advanced, and you know, effects and techniques and all that had advanced so much that it was justified in time to do a new take on it. And but this is one where I do enjoy the remake more than the original. Again, I the original's fine. I like the original, but I just think it fits better in the 88 version and works better. I do like it. Again, like you said, a little cheesy, a little fun. But that's like we pointed out earlier, That's a lot of these melt movies tend to have that, right? I mean, people are melting. How can you not have some humor?
I was gonna
And
say you can only get so serious with a fucker melting, like.
yep, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, The Blob 1988 is also my number three. So let's move on, Ike. Then what is your number two favorite melt movie?
My number two is somewhat not. It is melt adjacent. There is melt in it, and it's a very hard movie to describe. And it's a little bit of a deep cut, but it's called Tetsuo the Iron Man. So this actually, again, I didn't know that this was considered a melt movie. But I looked on, like I said, the IMDb list. This was on there, and I was like, well, I've seen that movie, and I did like the movie quite a bit, and I did think it was very obscure. It's very traditional body horror. It's literally a man turning into a grotesque hybrid of like flesh and rusty metal. And it's very weird, and there are some melts in this. I guess I didn't realize that this would constitute as melt adjacent, but it's a really short movie. It's only 1 hour and 7 minutes. It is on Shudder if anybody wants to go out there. Yeah, absolutely. It's a good one. It is a foreign language film. It's Japanese, I believe. It's good. It's really good. I'm gonna have to go rewatch this because I started looking at this list and I'm like, well, shit, I've seen a lot of these movies, like, but I don't really recall some of them. But this one's a good one. This one's very unique and very disturbing.
Well, I can't comment on it because I have not seen it. So that's one that I will have to watch at some point. But I got nothing to add. So we'll move on to my number two favorite melt movie. And this is a movie, this is a very goofy movie, but this is a movie that I absolutely, absolutely love. I just love this movie, melt movie or not. This is one of my guilty pleasure horror movies that I like to watch. Just a great movie. So much fun. From 1985, it is The Stuff. And this movie makes me chuckle just thinking about it. This is the movie where there's literally something begins oozing out of the earth, and a guy finds it, and of course his first reaction is to taste it.
Oh,
And
yeah, rational.
as you do, and finds out that it's a tasty thing. So they begin well, this begins to get marketed as a the new dessert item, which then has lots of ill effects on people. So it zombifies them, it melts some of them, it does lots of bad things. But it is a super goofy, campy, cheesy, fun movie. And again, not even breaking it down to, as a melt movie, this is just one of my guilty pleasure horror movies to watch. I do love The Stuff, and would advise anybody to give it a watch when they just have a big bowl of popcorn and just have a little fun with it. Maybe don't eat, marshmallow fluff while, or something, or ice cream or something, because that might be a little close to home. No, I get it. Ike, have you ever seen The Stuff?
So I cannot say that I have seen the stuff. I know what the cover looks like. It's literally that guy with his face all like stretched and like shit's oozing out of his eyes and stuff. So I have seen like the cover of this movie. In fact, I have a very distinct like memory of like, I mean, l years ago, I saw this and I was like, what the fuck is that? So yeah,
It's the stuff.
it's the stuff clearly. I will check this out. It looks like a fun movie. In fact, I'm pulling it up right now on my computer so that way I can watch it later.
Yeah. It is fun. Don't expect an Academy
No.
Award winner, but it is a fun movie that'll make you chuckle in parts and shake your head a little bit. But yeah, if you don't take it too seriously, it's a fun watch. So that brings us to our oh, what's that?
Was gonna say you can't take a lot of these movies seriously, let's be
No,
real.
no, no. I mean, first of all, we're talking about movies that are being defined as melt movies. So I think, seriousness is out the door. So that
Absolutely.
brings us to our number one favorite melt movies. Ike, what is your number one favorite?
Honestly, thus far, without having watched any other melt movies, and this is a little telling of my potential review later, the remake of the of Street Trash is my number one melt movie.
Of course.
So obviously I won't talk about it a whole lot, we'll talk about it later. But I, based on my current watch history of Melt movies, and this very well may change when I watch some of the other classics called like The Stuff or, what other, The Incredible Melting Man. I mean, come on, that seems like quality cinema.
What a title.
What a title, The Incredible Melting Man. So yeah, so Street Trash the remake was very, very fun, very, very enjoyable. It's campy as hell, and like I said, I'm not going to talk about it a lot because we're going to talk about it later, but I enjoyed it a lot. So that would make it my number one. So I'll pass it back to you, Dave, because I'm sure we don't want to talk too much about
No,
Street Trash quite yet.
but it is a real funny. This is a very funny and ironic twist. My number one is Street Trash from 1987. It
Wow.
is the first. Now, again, I'm not going to go deep into it. I did enjoy the new version, the remake, but I slightly like the original a little more. I don't know if it's just that old guy in me, or what it is. But I do like the original just a little more. It has a little deeper place in my melty heart. And, so that is my number one. Now I did enjoy the remake and the new one. We'll discuss that more in just a bit. But that's so wow. I mean that's Street Trash sweeping the number ones, but both versions very very telling. But it's not surprising because like I said, Street Trash is kind of like the poster child for the Melt movie. It
Right.
is kind of what you put on the fridge and say, this is the Melt movie, gold star. So there you go. So all right, that wraps up top three. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have our news, birthdays, on all that, et cetera. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, so we're going to start off with some good news about Scream. Mason Gooding is going to reprise his role as Chad Meeks Martin in Scream 7. Also joining the movie will be McKenna Grace. The movie is tentatively scheduled to release in theaters February 27, 2026. So this is very unique, very interesting. We are obviously going to see some legacy characters return in this, since we know that I believe Courtney Cox and Neve Campbell have both signed on, and there's talks that Patrick Dempsey will be
Well,
signed on.
yeah, I believe Patrick Dempsey's pretty much 100% now. I don't know if
Gotcha.
there's been an official announcement. People are talking online like it's a done deal. So, yeah, I mean, I think we're going to take that as the gospel at this
Yeah.
point. So.
It is gospel. So, and then now we have some of these, newer characters returning, as well as some familiar faces. McKenna Grace has been in quite a bit lately. She was in Long Legs. She was also in something
The
else.
Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters.
No way. So then I'm thinking about something. Am I thinking about the wrong? Yeah, I think I'm about the wrong. Was McKenna
Yeah.
Grace out? I think, no, I'm thinking of Kieran and Shipka. I get the two confused. They look very similar. My bad. So yeah, McKenna Grace, she was in Young Sheldon. I loved her in
Yes,
Young Sheldon.
yes.
There you go. But yeah, no, obviously Scream 7 is just getting stacked at this point with all these fantastic talents. So I'm very curious where they end up going with this. So I guess we'll just have to wait until we, get a trailer in like a year.
Yeah, and the McKenna Grace thing came out first, and I thought, oh, that's cool, but whatever. It's not what I would call a surprise thing, right? Okay, that's cool. They got her in it. I like that. Good call. And then this news broke about Mason Gooding, and I'm like, that really kind of knocked me back. I thought, dude, that's kind of surprising to me,
Yeah.
but it's a pleasant surprise. Because like we discussed a little bit at some point in time, Scream has always had this timeline, right? It's always continued on and done its thing and built on each other. And while, you know, it may not be directly, you know, there's always been a respect for the past. So right. With Mason Gooding, it looks like there will be some form of a bridge or a tie to the last couple movies. And I think they got to lock up his sister, his on-screen sister. I would think they, you know, would want her. But it does make me wonder, well, you know, will Mason Gooding just die out of the gate? Will right. he be, be the early kill that, you know, seals the deal? You know, I don't know. But I'm glad that he's going to be in it. I'm glad that there will be some form of a tie to the previous, some form of bridge, whether it be brief or not, at least they're acknowledging it and not just going to somehow just pretend it didn't happen or just make a quick comment. You know, there'll be at least a little something more to bridge it over into this new thing. I so far, again, I always get my hopes up. So far, this is very much feeling like more like the Scream we'd hoped. Yeah. That we would get in the last few movies. I'm not knocking the last couple movies. There was parts that were a little disappointing. Scream 6 was a little disappointing to me at the end. Not that I didn't enjoy it, but it's just not what I hoped. It was a little bit of a letdown. I hoped for a little more impact at the end. And this is feeling like it's gearing up a little more to really vibe with the old, really right. feel like that old Scream. And of course, there will not be an announcement, but there's one guy who will seal this deal to make this one of the best of the franchise. And, you know, excuse me, Matthew Lillard, someone's calling your name, and that's me. And I know you won't get the announcement. You won't get, you know, as part of the cast. But, buddy, it is time for Stu to come back into this. And if he does, if he winds up in this movie somehow, this will probably end up being one of my favorite of the franchise since the original. So,
oh, absolutely. I mean, like you said, obviously we don't want to dwell on it too much, but it cannot be understated how I would say crucial it is at this juncture in the, you know, the Scream lexicon or the Scream zeitgeist that we need Stu Mocker back. I think that is damn near one of the only ways to truly cap off this franchise, and I guess we'll see if they do it.
Yeah.
But moving on to Jennifer Love Hewitt. Haven't heard that name in a little while. Has confirmed she will return and appear in the I Know What You Did Last Summer Legacy sequel. The movie is tentatively planned to release July 18, 2025 in theaters. I love the I Know What You Did Last Summer movies. They are so, so much fun. Classic, you know, late 90s, early 2000s horror. So, so good. Good slasher movies. And Jennifer Love Hewitt was fantastic in it. Like I said, I haven't seen much from her lately, so it'll be fun. I think that'll be a fun little thing.
Yeah, and again, you know, we've spoke of several movies during that time period, which are kind of seem to be overlooked, right? Don't get talked about a lot. This is one of them. It's, you know, it's a solid film, but it doesn't, you know, well, there are people that like it, but it doesn't get spoke of a lot. And so hopefully this will, you know, kind of raise, you know, elevate a little bit, bring it to the modern eyes, and let it get a little respect. And to me, to do this, to do it right, to make it work at all, she had to be back.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign. I had faith she was going to do it, and it would happen. But it's good to see that now it's official. So.
Yeah, absolutely. But good stuff. And we're going to move right along to trailers have been released for 28 Years Later and Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare. I saw the teaser for 28 Years Later, but I didn't watch the full trailer. I know that's out there. Well, it's not a full trailer, but it's a trailer. There's like the teaser that's got like the SOS in it. And then I've not seen the Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare trailer yet, but that's exciting. I will 100% be watching that later. But fantastic. I think 2025 is shaping up to be I don't know if it's going to be a better year than 2024, but it's getting close.
Yeah, it'd definitely be a fun year. And yeah, I've not watched the Peter Pan trailer at all yet. I did watch it 28 years later. It just, oh, it looks spectacular. It is. I'm super excited. Looks great. Yeah, it's, and we say it towards the end of every year. It's like, oh, this has been a great year. It's been a great year. And then, like we'll be doing soon, looking forward to the next year. It's like, oof, it's going to be another fun year coming up.
Right.
And but again, more on that in a little bit. So.
Good stuff. All right. Now we're going to move on to Reanimator. We'll be getting a 4K release next year in celebration of the movie's 40th anniversary. There will be several versions of the physical release, which will include a book, bobblehead, documentary, interviews with actors and crew, deleted and extended scenes, and more. So I know exactly what Dave will be requesting for Christmas or his birthday next year.
Yeah, just all of them. Just give me them
Yes.
all. Yeah. But again, yeah, there's different, different deluxe versions, super deluxe versions, blah, 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 blah. They have different things. Yeah, I will want whatever version just has it all. I'm like, there was like I said, it was like a 150 page book about it. I'm like, poof, I want it. There was like a, I believe a doctor, the doctor bobblehead. I'm like, I want that. All these documentaries, little documentary, the little mini documentaries that come with things, interviews with Barbara Crampton and shit, what's his name? Shooting a blank.
Oh
Why
shit.
can't
What the
I
fuck
think of
is
his name?
Oh, what the fuck's his name? He was in he was in that other movie.
He was in Scream.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my favorite dudes. And why
Jeffrey
am I
Combs.
Jeffrey Combs? Good God, what's wrong with
Good
me?
Lord.
Interviews with him. Interviews with some of the filmmakers and different things. There's, I saw there was stuff, where they talk about, H.P. Lovecraft and the source material a little bit, and there's some deleted scenes, some extended scenes, and all that. And I'm like, oh, this is all so exciting to me, and not even to mention just the fact that it's been a 4K nice, crisp version of it. I am sold. Again, we have preached about the still importance of physical media, and I like, this is one thing what they have to do with this physical media. They have to throw in all this other stuff, and which is fine by me, right? Whatever you got to do, but again, you don't, buy physical media, whether it has all this stuff or not. Support the things that you really like, support it in physical media form,
Right.
because you don't, again, you can say that it's out there. It's out there. Why do I need it? But I mean, you don't know, right? You don't know. Case in point here, really quick, just a sidebar, right? The whole world knows, right? We're wrestling fans, right? We like wrestling. WWE has just signed a deal. They're jumping to Netflix on January 6th. They're moving over to there, right? They're leaving Peacock. Netflix is going to be the home for Raw and everything else. It has pretty much been announced that, all the archive material that's been on Peacock, that it used to be on the network, WWE Network, because in US, WWE Network's not really a thing anymore. It's now just a part of Peacock. But a
Right.
lot of the archive material, it won't be automatically on Netflix, right? They're going to have some of all the major WWE pay-per-views from the year, some things like that. But a lot of the old territorial, stuff that they own will not be over there for a while. And who knows if or when it will, because the fact of the matter is, to Netflix, if people don't watch much of it, they don't give a shit, right? They don't care a shit about the wrestling industry and the wrestling fan. If it doesn't do enough numbers, they don't care, right? So all the stuff that we could watch on Peacock, it's not going to be available to watch now, and it's going to be gone. We don't know if we're getting it back. WWE owns these archives, these libraries, so it's not like it's going to legally pop up anywhere else.
Right.
But though, I have lots of stuff, not all of it, not enough, not all I want, but I have a lot of it on DVDs that have been burnt and things, and where people used to record on tape and, have traded over years and years and years, right? That's, if you don't hold on to that stuff and have some of that, like, there's that case right there. You, bam, you're screwed. You can't watch that stuff. Same way with movies. You can say it's on whatever, Netflix, or it's on Tubi, or it's on this, or it's on that. Yeah, but you never know when something's going to happen, and it's going to be gone, or it's going to be caught up in a legal battle, or rights are going to change, and it's gone, and you can't watch it. We've
Yep.
encountered movies we've wanted to watch that the Return to Sleepaway Camp. You know,
oh yeah, you can't find that shit anywhere.
Can't find it anywhere, and it's not in DVD print anymore. So if you didn't buy it the first go around, you're gonna have to shell out a lot of money to get it. And yeah, so it's like that's the importance. This just it was a long way to get around that. It's very important. Buy this stuff on physical media, even if you don't pop it in a player regularly and use it. Just if it's something you really like, have it, buy it, support it. That way you have that version. Plus you also you have a version that's not been edited down for streaming or edited down for this, because some of that stuff does get edited and yeah. and cut and trimmed. And I'm one of those guys that, you know, I don't want you trimming a second out of it. I want to see the original version the way it was meant to be. And you know, my physical media collection's not as large as it once was, but I do have some, all the stuff that I really, truly love. And I, you know, I'm getting to that point where I'm starting to buy more in physical media of this stuff that I truly care about, that I want to ensure that I always have a means to watch it.
Yeah. So. No, absolutely. I 100% agree with you. Because I know, like, I like the wrestling too, but I'm also a huge fan of like anime. And fun fact, I have most of the Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z stuff, but a lot of the, you know, versions that are available today are not the same as they were when they were originally released. And the versions that are available today, especially of the movies, are not the U.S. versions. This is just a side note. The movies, when they were, you know, made, they were made, you know, pretty much with America in mind. And they used a lot of like 90s, like grunge and like metal music. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you call it like metal, this specific band, but you know the song Changes by Deftones?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I watched you change. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Such a good fucking song, but it's in one of my.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. But it's in one of my favorite Dragon Ball Z movies of all time, but it's only. If I'm not mistaken, if any nerds out there who think I'm mistaken, prove me wrong. But it's only in the American version. In the American version of the movie that I'm talking about, it's very hard to find. Now, thankfully, I found it. I found it at like a yard sale years ago. But if somebody wanted the American version, you'd either have to obtain it through not so legal methods or pay very heavy price for it.
Yeah, and that is the whole other aspect to it, right? There's the rights thing is sometimes twofold, right? There's the movie rights, there's the music rights.
Yes.
Everybody knows that listens to the show how much I love Supernatural. If you watch Supernatural on whatever Netflix or whatever else, the music's different. They didn't pay or didn't want to pay, couldn't pay, whatever it is, for some of the legitimate music for it. So they used, you know, whatever that bank music that you can put in stuff or whatever else is that version of it. Well, you know, that's not the same flavor. That takes away from it. That you, without some of those songs, it loses a whole layer. And if you buy it, the Blu-rays or the Blu-ray set or whatever else, you're getting that music, the original vision and what it's meant to be. And again, it's anybody that says things like that don't make a difference are not getting the full aspect. They're lying to themselves, because the music, the sound effects, those make movies and TV shows. And you know, taking away the original vision of music and putting in some royalty free or whatever bank music they have, you're losing a whole layer of the effect of the storytelling. So
you are 100%.
So wow, we really got off. So
hey, it happens. I mean, it's a very important subject. I mean, even just for the purpose of preserving things in their original state, like physical media is very important for that. And like you said, music riots and this, that, and the other, you know, it's just that shit gets crazy. I mean, there's so much legalese that goes into that. It's just, it's insane.
Yeah. And so. I will never be back to what I used to be, where I'm just buying everything.
Oh, right? Yeah.
If you wanted a movie, you had, I'm not going to do that. Right. I don't care to own every single movie on physical, and no offense. It's just I don't want to, But the stuff that I truly love, my favorite movies, you know, the horror stuff I like, the animated stuff that I like, some of the TV series that I really like, that that I'm very passionate about. Yeah, I want the physical media so that I can ensure I always have it. I have DVDs of animated stuff, you know, from when I was young. That's not out there anywhere. It's not on any streaming service, but I'm able to watch it, right? Because I have the DVD versions that I bought whatever decades ago, and and I still have those because I've never parted with them, right? I'm not going to get rid of them, so I'm able to watch them, and it's important to me, right? So, and it's, well, yeah, it is easy to say, with in this day and age, you would think everything's available out there somewhere on one of these streams. I understand that thought, but it's not an actuality.
No.
And, you know, and if, especially if you want to go down rabbit holes and really dig deep on things or really fully watch a franchise or something all the way through, there's lots of times you'll get to a certain level and you can't find it. And, so it's important, right? And like, you know, support. It's, again, it's a whole nother level too of support for these franchises and these properties and this and genres. So yeah, I'm very prominent. Again, my approach is I buy the stuff that I'm very passionate about. I'm very into. I just don't buy everything.
Right.
You know, it's just I just don't have the desire. I don't really want to. I don't have the space. But the stuff that I want to ensure that I always am able to view, I will 100% buy it every time. So, yeah.
And
so I advise everybody to do the same.
Yep. And last thing, if you ever question the validity of what we're saying, just Google Lost Media. There are entire YouTube channels where people dedicate their time and effort into locating Lost Media. And the only way you can become Lost Media is that nobody owns a physical copy of it anymore, or it is very rare or, you know,
yeah,
hard to find. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. Let's move on.
Yes. We're going to move on to upcoming birthdays. December 19th, 1949. Nancy Loomis Keyes. I don't know. Halloween. She plays Annie Brackett. She's also in The Fog. Of course, this is a you know, very important character for the OG Halloween, but also a very important character for the newer Halloweens, because the Brackets come up pretty, you know, frequently. So yeah, a fantastic actress and a very important character in a very good movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was also had a part in Halloween 3, a different character.
Right.
But you know, she was in Halloween 3 and everything else, but, yeah, she was, extraordinarily important in the first Halloween. So, but yeah, it's great. That's not to mention the other movies, right? But it's just, I always envision her from Halloween, the original Halloween.
Right. Absolutely. Moving on to December 21st, 1966, Kiefer Sutherland, known for his roles in Lost Boys, Flatliners, and many, many more. He was in that TV show, 24, that I have weird, like, vague memories of, because it was, like, a huge deal, like, in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never seen that show. But, yeah, Kiefer Sutherland is a legendary actor, his father as well, is also a legendary actor.
Yeah, yeah, and, of course, you know, I love him most for Lost Boys, but I was never a big 24 person. Didn't really dive into it. Didn't watch it. Didn't really have the desire. But I did watch him in Designated Survivor, and I don't know how I jumped into that show. But I always enjoyed that show for some reason. But that, I did like.
It has
I did
an
like
interesting him in that. Premise.
I liked it. But yeah, this guy, it's like the Department of Agriculture or something, because of the thing he ends up as president.
Right, yeah, just so, like some weird like cabinet member, like,
yeah, because
he's far down on the list.
Yeah, because he was the quote-unquote designated survivor at that time. So yeah, very interesting. And but yeah, I like Kiefer. But again, one of those guys, I know he's done so many things, but always first thing that pops to mind is the Lost Boys, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Absolutely. No, I can see that. He's very, very memorable in that one. He's also in that movie Stand By Me, which is really good too.
Of course, yeah, that's a classic. Look,
that is a classic. Stephen King, isn't it? It is. I said that, but as soon as I said that, I was like, is it?
Let me look. I should know that, but I've read it.
It is. Yeah, it is written. So it's based on the novella called The Body, which is a novella by Stephen King.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm not crazy.
I mean, I thought that was right, but I just like I was afraid to commit.
I feel that. But all right. So speaking of both Stand By Me and Lost Boys, December 23rd, 1971. No, wait. Wrong Corey. Corey Haim, known for his role in Silver Bullet and Lost Boys. Corey Feldman was in Stand By Me. Mm-hmm. Corey Haim was the other Corey, who is dearly departed, of course. Fantastic, you know, fantastic talent. Did so much. And Lost Boys was a good one he was in, for sure.
Yeah, loved him in Lost Boys. Loved him in Silver Bullet. He was great in that. But absolutely one of the, you know, the poster dudes for the '80s, right? I mean, the Coreys did several movies together and more, but and no longer with us, but kind of a tragic tale, but always enjoyed his work.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to move on now to December 23rd in 2002, which is crazy to think that there is a person who was born in 2002 who is fully sentient. But Finn Wolfhard, known for his role in Stranger Things and Ghostbusters, Finn Wolfhard was also in It, was he not? Yes,
mm-hmm. he was in It. Yep, he was also in an episode of Supernatural, and and lots of other things. There's something I don't remember right off the top of my head. There's something he's tied to a remake of something coming up. I can't remember what it was, but people can Google that. But
there you go.
Yeah, he's kind of one of those prominent young actors that's really of that next wave of stars. I mean, he's already a star, but I mean, he's still, well, hell, I guess he ain't that young anymore. He's 22?
Yeah, 22. So,
is that not hard to believe, though? I mean, just think about this. The kid from one of the kids from Stranger Things and stuff is, and It is now 20. That's just, I don't know, it seems weird.
Well, I mean, they're all in their 20s at this point. I mean, like, Millie Bobby Brown is married to, like, John Bon Jovi's son or something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is crazy, too, that, you know, she's old enough to be married to someone. Like, I just remember them all as kids, you know, all of them.
Yeah, it's so weird.
It is so weird. That show started in 2016, which is also weird because, like, 2016 is almost a decade ago, which, I mean, let that simmer in your frontal lobe for a minute.
Which does bring to point what are they doing for the season, whatever it is, five or whatever the next season is, when these guys, they're all in their early 20s now? What are they, is there going to be a big time jump or what's happening here?
There's going to have to be. It's got to be like Stranger Things, how to set up a 401k or something. I don't know.
Is this a Saved by the Bell, the college years kind of deal or something that we're going to do here? I don't.
Right. It's got to be. Like, there's literally no other way. There's no way out of this. They're going to have to. They got some splaining to do is what I got to say.
I mean, I know they've always played young and that you could get by with that. But now they're getting to the point where that's harder and harder to do. And I'm curious to see what they do there. So,
yeah. Well, I guess we'll see because I believe the next season should be out next year ish.
I think so. I think that's it, right? That's the final.
I believe so. I do believe.
I have faith that they're gonna, you know, they'll do the right thing and it'll work. And but I just cannot see there being a little bit of a jump. I just it being work you know working.
Yeah.
Well, but anyhow,
we'll find out one way or another, won't we?
Happy birthday, Finn.
That's right. Moving on to, looks like December 25th, Christmas, 1924, we have Rod Serling, known for his work as the creator of The Twilight Zone. Obviously, iconic role, quite frankly, creating one of the most iconic anthology series of all time. Twilight Zone's fantastic. You're hard pressed to find something that pioneered more for horror than the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I mean groundbreaking. Still, you know, still copied in formats and approaches and topics and whatever else you want to say. I mean, there was things they were doing in the Twilight Zone that was story wise so ahead of their time, I marvel at people that come up with things like this that are so forward thinking. They can do that, you know. It's so creative. It's I marvel at that, right? That marvel that people that can break outside the box of what is now to think ahead, and frankly to have the guts to do it, right? Because it's to do something like that's a risk, right? Because you're doing something that's not proven, and you have to have a lot of faith in it. And it's always fascinating to me the people that do that. Your groundbreaking geniuses and this stuff that come up with this. And I would put him in that. I mean, as far as television goes, I would definitely put him in that class. So.
No, absolutely. I mean, especially for that time and era. I mean, that literally was a hard time to pioneer in the world, much less Hollywood, which was, extremely, extremely, extremely careful about who they gave money to. They're a little looser right now with their pocketbooks than they used to be. So, yeah. So I
Well, yeah,
like.
there's a lot more time to fill now with all the different networks and services and whatever. I mean, there was not, we're talking a time period where there was whatever, three networks
Right.
and not as much TV time to fill. They wanted to be sure you weren't gonna go far if people were turning to one of the other networks. So it's not as, I don't want to say easy is an odd word to say, but it is not as easy
No.
to land some form of a distribution deal because there weren't as many avenues to do it in. So.
No, absolutely. And I think easy is the best way to say it, because not to say that it's easy now, but it is a lot easier,
Yeah, well, there's a lot more options. Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's, yeah.
But there you go. And then we have one last little birthday for you guys. December 25th, Christmas again, 1942, around the time World War II. That's an unfortunate time to be alive. Sissy Spacek, known for her role, of course, as Carrie, and of course the movie called, you guessed it, Carrie. Absolutely fantastic movie. Sissy Spacek is, for all intents and purposes, probably the definitive version of Carrie. Very iconic look and fantastic movie, fantastic actress.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know they've remade and whatever else, but this is the Carrie. And she is, that this is it. And but she's done lots of other things too. I mean, outside of horror, I mean, probably, just as known as playing Loretta Lynn in Coal Miner's Daughter, which was another great movie, not horror, but
Right.
still a great movie that she was great in. And she's a great actress.
Yep, Coal Miner's Daughter, that's an award-winning movie, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was big, yeah.
Well, there you go. Just gotta do Carrie and then you can get Coal Miner's Daughter. But I kid. But moving on to, go ahead.
What other horror podcast brings up the movie Coal Miner's Daughter? Give me a break.
Amen. Hey, if you're not bringing up the Coal Miner's Daughter during the podcast, and you're not doing it right.
That's right.
I mean, it's important. It's important for her lexicon of movies. It's in a very important, very impactful movie from her time as an actress. It's relevant. I kid.
Sure.
Moving on to upcoming movie anniversaries. December 20th, 1974, Black Christmas. Black Christmas, of course, we talked about it. In fact, I believe we have actually reviewed this movie at some juncture. So. I won't dwell too much on it, but Black Christmas is a fantastic movie. It's very unique. And it's one of those movies that, you watch during that time and you're like, wow, this is solid. Kind of weird, but hey, what good movie isn't a little weird? You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah, especially within horror. But yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I love Black Christmas. It's a got Margot Kidder in it. It's a great, it's again another movie that's been remade. Yeah, I mean, it's great. And you always, to me, I always, you always have to, I mean, it's a great movie, just flat out. No, but I always have to watch a movie from the 70s or whatever, and try to have the mindset of the context of what it would have been like that at that time.
Oh,
And
yeah.
in 1974, this movie had to been just, I don't know, controversial, mind-blowing. I don't know what the words to put. It would have been something.
Yeah.
I love it. It's one of my favorite Christmas horror movies.
No, I do agree. I think it probably would have been incredibly controversial for the time, especially given some of the contents of the movie. It would have been pretty scathing, to say the least. But. All right, moving on to December 20th, 1996, another icon, Scream. This is, of course, the OG and a very timely birthday. I mean, to be fair, we pretty much talk about Scream, I would say, essentially every episode at this
point.
Yeah,
it seems like it.
But, you know, like we said, we won't dwell too much on it, but Scream is obviously fantastic. One of the best meta-slasher movies and slasher movies to ever exist. So if you haven't watched it by now, I think that you are under a rock somewhere, so...
Sure, yeah. And again, nothing to say. We've talked about the franchise with the new movies. We, you know, it gets brought up all the time. Anybody that listens to it knows how much we love Scream, particularly this one, the original, the first one. So, yeah, not going to say anything.
What more can you say?
Yeah.
And then moving on to December 22nd, 1932, The Mummy. So I don't think I've ever seen The Mummy, or maybe I have, but it's been a while if I have. But this is, of course, one of the OG. This would be the Universal horror monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And The Mummy is a quite frightening, you know, concept. You know, it's even more frightening. You want to know why we don't have a lot of mummies?
Mm.
The English actually ate a lot of them. You heard that right. They ate them. I don't really remember why they ate them, but yeah, the English ate a shit ton of mummies in like the 1700s. I don't really know why. I don't know what purpose you'd want to eat a mummy for, but they did, and that's why we don't have a whole lot of them left.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah, right, that's what I'm saying. But anywho, fantastic movie. It's been a while since I've seen it, but I know, Dave, you love the Universal horror movies.
Yeah, I do. And yeah, The Mummy's a good one. It's one of the, you know, the top of that core group of characters, and it's a great movie. Highly recommend people go see it.
There you go. I said, have they remade them, that like the actual, I guess they did with that Tom Cruise movie. They kind of remade The Mummy a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, and I mean, you know, Brendan Fraser did a mummy, but they're not real direct. You know, they're not scene for scene remakes, but
right,
some of that same flavor, I guess, would be there.
Gotcha. Well, that'll probably be the next one they remake after Wolfman comes out. Hopefully Wolfman does well. We'll see. But moving on to December 25th, 1998, The Faculty. You know, this is another one of those 90s films that, you know, is very... unfortunately not talked about enough. The Faculty is extremely good. I also didn't know it was released on Christmas, but apparently it was. And yeah, I love it. Love The Faculty. Probably in my top 10, like 90s horror movies. And it's a good body horror movie too. Speaking of body horror.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, yeah, again, I'm not going to harp on the same old things we always say, but yeah, there's some of those movies from that time period. It's just, for whatever reason, they don't seem like they get talked about very much. And this is one of those I'd put right up there from that time period as one of the standouts. So it is what it is. Take our word. This is the time. Go give it a watch.
Yep, absolutely. If you don't give it a watch, you're a loser. I'm just joking. That was mean. Anywho, moving on to upcoming releases. Nosferatu is coming to theaters on December 25th, and it is described as a gothic tale of obsession between a haunted young woman and a terrifying vampire infatuated with her, causing untold horror in its wake. We will be reviewing this movie on the January 9th episode of the podcast, so give us a little bit of time to watch that, because Christmas is in the middle of the week, and yeah, it's always weird around the holidays when they have holiday releases in the middle of the week.
yeah. And we've got, we'll talk about it more in a bit, but we do have, you know, our couple of special episodes coming up here that, you know, we don't want to move around. So, but yeah, we'll talk about more at the end of the episode.
Amen to that. All right. Well, I think that pretty much does it for all of our news, birthdays, upcoming movie anniversaries, and releases. When we come back, we will have our official review of the Street Trash remake, so stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrasslePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right, and it is review time, and we'll keep this brief because we've rambled quite a bit in this show. We've got sidetracked on a few things. So, and so we're reviewing the movie Street Trash. That is the new version that just came out. For some reason, I didn't put any informational notes. I usually do. I don't know why I skipped over that. So just know that it's Street Trash. And and it's on what? Screenbox, correct?
Yeah.
But it is not on Screenbox yet. It is coming out in actually a couple weeks. I think right after Christmas. We did get an early screener link, so this movie is not out yet. It's not available to be watched. Will be coming out in the near future. Ike, while I'm talking here, would you look that up and give me so that you have the release date on hand for when that is coming out? But we are keeping it like we always do, spoiler free, especially with this one not being out. But not a lot to say here. We're not gonna go too deep into this because the movie's not complex. It's a fun movie. Same concept, more or less of the original, right? This alcohol is contaminating the homeless, which there was the whole group is trying to do away with the homeless population, and this is one means that they're trying to help control and do away with them, and things happen. So this fitting into that body melt or melt movie, there are plenty of melting people in this, and I would call it kind of gross stuff, but it's not really believable gross per se, because a lot of the stuff it's not what I would call super realistic, right? There's a lot of bright colors and stuff, it's not like it doesn't look super realistic where it's that gross. It's hard to describe. It is gross, but it's not realistic gross to me. But it is a, it is a peculiar little movie. It's funny, it's humorous. You have to have a certain sense of humor to appreciate it. If you don't have an open mind, or if language is an issue for you, if sexually based humor, so to speak, I'm not saying that a bit, humor centered around it's kind of sexual references is if that offends you, this is not going to be a movie you're going to enjoy. If drug humor, because there is some of that in this, I'm not saying that they're being lighthearted about any of it, but if any of that is something that is just not appealing to you or triggers you in any way, this is not a movie you're going to enjoy. I found it that it was a fun little movie to watch. Good for a chuckle. The effects were pretty good, for what they are. The effects were good, but they kept that a little of that campy flavor, because it should with this type of movie. It shouldn't be taking itself too seriously. There were some, they did try to have a little bit of some serious undertones with a couple of topics in it. That it wasn't all just a goof thing. But it was, I enjoyed the movie. I really did, because I like that campy, cheesy, make you kind of chuckle, humor, and horror. That's a good time for me. That's one style that I really like. It's never going to be one of those things that I throw out there on a list of one of my favorite movies of all time or anything like that. But it's one of those movies that's just a fun little enjoyable watch. And, you don't go into it taking it too seriously. Just go into it trying to have a good time and enjoy yourself. It's not trying to change the world. It's just trying to make you forget it for a little bit. And but I did enjoy it. I would advise people to give it a watch when it comes out. But again, harping back, maybe it's nostalgia, sentimental reasons, whatever. I do like the original, the first one, a little better. But again, that might just be me because I'm an older guy, and I saw the original before this, a few years back. So it just kind of, I'm kind of that old stuck in my way kind of guy where I have that, nostalgia for the things I saw first. So, but they're both very good. Both have their place. So what did you think of it?
Yeah, absolutely. And real quick, just, this is a little out of order, but IMDb gives us the following information, and I have the release dates and whatnot. Basically, street trash is defined or described as a group of homeless misfits that must fight for survival when they discover a plot to exterminate every homeless person in the city. It is written and directed by Ryan Kruger, starring Sean Cameron Michael, Donna Cormack Thornton, or I'm sorry, Thompson, Joe Vaz, Lloyd Martinez, Newkirk, as well as many others. And the movie was originally released, looks like, for streaming with purchase November 19th. However, it is going to be released on Screambox December 27th. So,
There you go. All
December
right.
27th is when you can actually watch it for free with your Screambox subscription. All right, moving on. I loved it. I thought it was very fun. Again, without a spoiler, there's a scene in which a man's member is dismembered. So it's weird that both the things that we watched for this week, these, the creep tapes and this, both, depicted a wiener. So I don't know. Either that says something about us or the world around us. So I
Yeah, whatever.
don't know. I guess.
Penises they play a role in the original Street Trash as well. So it's
Do they?
you had to put a little bit of that. I was more to not. I don't want to say disturbed, but I the little there was a kind of a drug-induced vision character in the movie
There was.
that was a little more. For lack of a better term, a little more perturbing in the general scene. He was something. So
He was.
everybody will see what we mean when you watch the movie. So
Oh man, that was that. That's yeah. I will forever remember that. That'll be ingrained in my brain. But
absolutely.
anywho, moving on. It's a very fun movie, like you said. You cannot take this movie seriously. In any efforts to try and make this a serious movie is in vain, truly. I think it completely defeats the purpose to take it as seriously as I'm sure some people are going to try.
Yeah, you can't take seriously a movie that's not made to be serious. It's
Correct.
just it's not the way it was created, not the way it was made. So you shouldn't try to take it that way.
Absolutely. And that's a very good point, is that this movie was not made to be some like high level of decorum, Oscar award winner. Like you said, there are some like, some political undertones with some of the stuff that's talking about, in regards to like homelessness. But like, truly, this is just a movie about people fucking melting. I mean, it really is. It is a true defined melt movie. And it's very entertaining. It's just you have to be able to discern from like what people normally try and like say, oh yeah, but what about this? You just have to like look at it and be like, you know what? I'm not gonna take this that seriously. I'm just gonna have a good time. And as long as you can have a good time, then you're gonna be in for a very, very, very fun movie. But yeah, it was a few disturbing scenes with some of the practical effects that they did. Which was fantastic. I love that. I love the disturbing melt scenes that we got and some of the grotesque practical effects. It was very, very fun. And just so super unique. It's very much unlike a lot of movies that we watch these days. It really kind of went no holds barred with some of the grotesqueness, which I appreciated. I got to give it that. And some very timely political commentary too. It's very funny. Now, this does take place in South Africa, so it's not in the United States. But they all kind of sounded Australian, so maybe that's just my ignorance on the accents of the world, but I digress.
I don't know where it was filmed, so
That's true. It could have been filmed in Australia, but just
yeah, you
writtenly set in South Africa.
You know, we can watch Supernatural all the way through, and it was filmed in Vancouver, but there's like scenes where it's like, oh yeah, this is supposed to be in whatever, you know, Arkansas, but it's like, okay, yeah, that's clearly a Canadian accent. I mean, it's like, but no.
We're in Arkansas, eh?
Yeah. But yeah, it's again, it was a fun movie. And this is one of those movies that my wife Monica would be like, "What the fuck are you thinking?" because she wouldn't like it, and she would be like, "Well, why would you give this a decent rating?" And it's like, because to me, there's different reasons for giving it a decent rating, right? I mean, and that's why we have the level, kind of the levels we do. You know what? I enjoyed it because it was fun. It was goofy, made me chuckle. And, you know, it's like when it was all said and done, it's like I didn't sit there and think, God, what, you know, that was a waste of an hour and a half or whatever. And, you know, I it was just a fun watch. And that's, you know, that's what it was meant to be. I think it delivered on it. Yeah, like I said, I'm never going to hold it up and say this is one of the premier filmmaking accomplishments of all time. Yeah, because you know what? And I don't think any of the filmmakers are going to ever try to say that's what they were going for and that's what they expect. But again, it was fun to me. If you don't like, you know, kind of that melting concept, some things that kind of look a little gooey and you know, borderline nastyish, kind of, you know, whatever, you know, it can be a little much. If that's not into you, you know, you probably shouldn't watch this because it's not going to have a lot of appeal to you. It's not going to be your thing. But you know, if you're kind of open-minded with that stuff and like some, you know, something that's humorous and it is and whatnot, that this is something that you'll probably get a laugh out of. I definitely don't think it's for everybody, but that's okay. No one says that, you know, everything's got to be for everybody. So Ike, let's rate this thing. Out of five screams, what are you giving the new take on Street Trash?
Well, I'm going to give this a ooey gooey melty liquidy 4 out of 5.
A 4? Is that what you said?
I'm giving it a 4.
Wow.
I gotta be honest, I mostly laughed during this movie. Yeah. But there were definitely some times where I was like watching and I'm like, holy shit, what the fuck am I watching here, bro? Like there's one specific scene where when they first like kind of introduce like the melting concept, if you will. And I immediately was like, oh, okay, so that's the kind of movie that I'm watching today. It was a lot of fun. Like I said, this is based purely on enjoyment. You know, that's usually how we rate these things. Like I would rewatch this movie 100%. I would go back and rewatch this movie. You know, it makes me want to watch the original Street Trash. So the fact that it has that level of like, yeah, this is a lot of fun, I would rewatch this, that in of itself to me, you know, gives it an automatic 3. But what set this above and beyond were these practical effects, while so funny and like goofy, were so good and intricate. Like some of the, you know, effects of like, you know, the melting and the gooiness were very unique. And I'm very curious how they came up with them. So just technically speaking, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not arguing that point. 4 is a little high for me. I did enjoy the movie, but I don't think I can go above a 3 on it. And that's not knocking it, because I, like I said, I fully enjoyed it. And the effects were good and everything else. But just, you know, I do think it's a little niche with its approach, right? It's not so I think I have to kind of contain myself and just give it that 3. You know, while, you know, for me, I super enjoyed it and everything else. I do see the limitations on the film. I liked it. Don't get me wrong. I fully enjoyed it. But it's, yeah, I don't put it quite up there with some of the other movies that we've rated a 3.5 or a 4 yet. You know, I don't put it up that far, but you know, again, I can't see just based on the enjoyment where you or someone else might view that, because, you know, it is an enjoyable film for me. And if you know, this kind of stuff is stuff you enjoy, or you don't doesn't bother you or what have you, it is super enjoyable. But I hope that everybody gives it a view, especially when it comes out on Screambox, because I think it's worth the view.
Yeah.
And when it comes out, I would love to hear. I don't know. I think this is one of those that's going to be, it's just going to be super over. People are going to really, really be talking about it and really enjoy it and like it. And I fully expect, it's already got some buzz on social media. Don't get me wrong. But when it fully unleashes on Screambox, I really think this movie is going to take over social media for a few days and be the topic of conversation among horror fans.
So I think I would agree with that statement. I think it will. I think it'll get that pop that it deserves for sure.
I do too. And I think it'll be that big. It'll be that, not that it means anything. It probably does to them. I'm sure it does. Well, we know it does. I fully think this is going to be, have a good run on that Screambox top 10 most watched, pretty high up there. And I could potentially, I see it at least hitting the number one for a bit on their most watched, you know, when it's initially released, and we'll see if, you know, if it can maintain for a few weeks there, but, I think it'll have enough impact that it'll get there. I think this will be Screambox most watched thing for a bit.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. It's already got some buzz about it, but I think once it's out there and people are going to really be talking about it, and it's going to have a very fast, quick snowball effect. And that's a good thing. So all right. Well, then, like we said, moving on to talk about the next couple of episodes. And one of the reasons that we're, you know, kind of pushing out Nosferatu, you know, a couple episodes in the future is because on our next episode, we're going to do our annual preview episode. This is where we are going to preview 2025. We're going to take a look at some of the movies that are slated to be released, talk about some of those, and discuss where they stand in our most anticipated movies that we are looking forward to in 2025. We do that every year, so that will be happening in next episode where we talk about that, which then the next episode after that puts us right into 2025, and that will be the episode where we will have our 2024 review episode. That is where we will look back on 2024. And where we will rank our top five favorite horror movies of the year. Again, anybody that knows us and listens to us probably already knows there's probably a pretty good lock for number one, but it will be curious to see how at least two through five pan out. So I feel like it'll be really interesting this year. I feel like this is going to be a very fun year to do this, because the past couple of years, I feel like we've had three or four spots pretty locked up.
Yeah.
That we didn't have to finalize too much. And then it was just kind of worrying about that last couple. I feel like it's a little more wide open on this year. I really do. I feel like there's, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that in a, I feel like there's been a little bit broader range of quality movies. And you know, there's just not as many that are jumping out of the pack. Not necessarily that in a bad way. I'm just saying there's been a lot of good movies where there's not as many that just automatically jump to mind as you know, really leaping out from the others. So I feel like this will be an intriguing year.
I think so. I think it'll be a good year.
Yeah, we've always had a movie or two that slips in there that's a streaming only release, and I don't think that'll be any different this year. But there might be more than one.
I think
that gets in there, because some of our you know, just off the top of my head, thinking back just quickly, not really doing the research, but I feel like some of our favorite views of this year have been streaming releases. So we'll see.
And honestly, like every year, I'm going to like sit there and I'm going to think about it. I'm going to be like, oh yeah, shit, that movie came out this year, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's plenty of movies that, you forget about, because you feel like it's just been like 3 years now since something's been released. It's like, shit, I just watched that like 2 months ago. Really? And I mean, you know, that's just the concept of entertainment nowadays, but especially when you watch as many movies and stuff as we do, it's just, it's always moving, right? It's ever onward. And through the course of the year, you don't get a whole lot of time to reflect back. And that's what's fun about this. So yeah, it's, It's always fun to kind of sit there. My initial is always to scroll through our episodes initially and see what we reviewed. That's always my first stage. And I always look at it and think, God, that was just 3 months ago? Really?
Only 3 months ago. What the hell?
It's like, because I don't. I'm having trouble even remembering what we started. Is this the year we started with kind of like Night Swim and those movies? Some of those?
Yeah,
Yeah, there we go.
Imaginary, isn't that right? Is that was that this year or is that last
That
year?
was, no, I think that was this year. I think, what was it? I don't know. See, that's the thing. I don't
Right. Like we said, like we literally just said,
know.
the so many movies that came out this year, and I can't remember a quarter of them probably.
That's right. Well, that is coming up in a couple of weeks. But again, next episode is our preview for 2025, which that'll be fun too, because I've not really sat down and just really have done a hard look. You know, we talk about them, right? These movies are coming out. This movie's coming, but I've never really sat down and kind of looked at a schedule and looked at a calendar or a list of
Right.
movies. It's just been in the course of our conversation here, which kind of sometimes gets lost in the shuffle. So it'll be fun to really look at kind of a list of what's coming out next year and getting that full scope, full view, overview of it. And it's always where we marvel. It's like, damn, you know, we're people can say what they want, but as horror fans, we're pretty fortunate right now
Oh,
in
yeah.
what we're getting. So but anyway, so there that's where we stand. Next episode, the 2025 preview episode. So that's coming next week. We would like to say thank you to all of you, our listeners, all of our followers on social media, and our wives for all your support, your encouragement, your interactions, etc. That makes all this worthwhile week to week, however many years. We've done it a few years now, and we've not missed a week yet, not been late, everything, you know, and it's all because of you folks. You just keep it fun and keep us wanting to do this. So Ike, before we close out the super gooey, melty episode of Listen to Their Screams, anything you want to say or throw in there? I guess we should really kind of say Merry Christmas, shouldn't we? Because
Merry Christmas.
by time the next step, and always, God, hopefully I don't get canceled for this, but it always makes me think of that. What was it? Was it 21 Jump Street where he's like, my name is Jeff?
My name is Jeff. Right. Oh, that's a good one. I haven't
Always
seen that
think of
movie
it.
so long.
Yeah. So, but I guess by time our next episode drops after this one, it'll be officially be the 26th. So Christmas will be passed. So this is, I guess this is it before Christmas. So I guess we do need to wish all the listeners a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. You know, whatever you celebrate and whatever way you celebrate it, like we say pretty much every holiday, just celebrate it however you want to do it, whatever's best for you. But we do hope that everybody gets to relax, enjoy themselves, and spend their time the way they want to spend it, whether that be with friends, whether it be with family, whether it be with just their pets, whether it just be by themselves. However you want to spend your time and relax and unwind, I very much hope you get to do that. So happy holidays to everybody, because like we said, next episode, that'll be done, passed.
Yep. Be
So
donezo.
yep, Santa or Krampus will already have come and either gifted you or killed you, and whatever the case may be. So be it. But okay, well then, I guess back to it. Anything you want to throw in there before we get out of here? Where I got sidetracked, lost my
No,
train of thought.
you're good. Like you said, Merry Christmas all. Stay safe, stay happy, stay healthy, all that good jazz. Make sure you're spending your time how you want to spend it. Hopefully you have some time off from work. And you can kick back, drink a couple cold ones, whether those cold ones are beers, Cokes, whatever it is, as long as it isn't, RC Cola. I kid, I like RC Cola. Anywho, and then always, follow us on social media, especially, keep up with us during this holiday season, and we'll make sure to post about everything that comes up. The holidays are always a good time for, movie studios to release stuff too. So, this is a good time for them to put out more trailers and everything else since everybody's at home. So you never know, something might pop up in the interim. So, but yeah, I think that's it.
All right. Well, there you go. I mean, with all in all, whatever intents and purposes, whatever however the saying goes, that pretty much closes 2024 for us.
Yeah.
Because, like we said, next episode, we'll be previewing 2025. The following episode will be giving a recap review of 2024. So as far as reviews and whatnot and normal kind of sketch episodes, that pretty much puts a wrap.
That's all, 2024. Folks.
Another year in the books for us. So I'm always excited about the preview and review episodes. Those are always fun to do. Something different, something to really kind of give a big picture. I like them. Those are some of my favorites of what we do. So I'm very much looking forward to next week. You and I looking forward into our crystal balls into 2025. So hopefully everybody will come along for the ride. But like we said, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to using you and yours. But until next episode, where are you going? What do you do? Be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.